This is a lousy defense right now. Lousy.
All right, Ira, look, it's time for a quiz. When I say don't worry, what do you say?
Drive Curry, baby.
Don't worry, drive Curry. This is the Ira Kaufman podcast. Bill Curry Ford, of course, that's Curry. And they've got all kinds of deals now on the website, Sage. BillCurryFord.com. You can get a new 2024 Ford Escape. You've got the 2020 Cherry Red model, Ira. Might be time.
Still going strong, Stevie.
I know you love that thing. Might be time to upgrade. Only $355 a month, zero down.
Make me a deal, Sean. Make me a deal.
Yeah, come on, Sean. Step it up. Sean Sullivan, of course, he's the GM of Bill Curry Ford, our JoeBucksFan.com draft guru. He's got the Ira Kaufman discount for everybody. Only at Bill Curry Ford, Ira, remaining 2023 Bronco models, and really the coolest looking vehicle, in my opinion. Over $10,000 off MSRP. That won't last.
I was in a Bronco last year, Steve, when they were working on my car. They gave me a Bronco to take home. It's a sweet ride.
Yeah, it is a very sweet ride. First, I thought you were talking about Sean Payton for a second. Got me scared.
By the way, he said he ran the score up on purpose. What's going on over here?
He did. He almost got into a little fight with some Panthers players after the game. It reminded me of when he had that confrontation with Dirk Cutter, and they were punching each other in the chest. That was maybe the highlight of Cutter's regime in Tampa. But Sage, a new 2023 Mustangs, a Mach-E, $599 a month, zero down, zero due at signing. Bill Curry Ford, they've got all kinds of incredible offers, and family-owned makes a difference. Start shopping today, BillCurryFord.com. You still got $1,000 off. There's storm savings this month, so hustle it up, BillCurryFord.com.
How's their inventory, Steve? They got a lot of cars on the lot.
It's moving all the time, but yeah, they've got vehicles, and you can test drive. They'll bring something out to you, whatever you need. Sage, Florida's Elite Restoration is our other wonderful partner here on the podcast, Florida'sElitereStoration.com. That's your first phone call anytime you have a disaster in your property. And Sage, that could be, you know, you've got that fancy office on the beach there, the Sage headquarters, right? You've had that for 37 years. That could get flooded. You got to call Florida's Elite Restoration.
Have you talked to Josh recently? How busy have they been after these storms, Steve?
I have been in touch with Josh Martin, the owner of Florida's Elite Restoration, and they've got a huge team that services across the state, all over the Tampa Bay area. They're based right here. They're Bucks fans.
This guy's got to be putting in 70-hour weeks, Steve.
Incredible. Incredible. But they're still servicing and taking on new customers. They're a one-stop shop. So if you want them to do your mitigation and restoration and make the repairs, maybe you got a blown out bathroom or kitchen issue from mold or whatever it might be, call them first. Tell them you heard about it from Ira or from JoeBucksFan.com. You'll get $500 back if you end up needing their services after a free evaluation of your property. Or
their expertise on water damage, Steve, it's unbelievable.
Yeah,
water damage.
And they've got all the great technology to come in and assess everything. It's not just some guy looking for a leak or something like that. It's nothing like that. So Florida's Elite Restoration, check out their 5-star Google reviews. Go to their website, floridaselitereStoration.com. And remember, they're there for you 24/7. So there's no reason not to have them in your disaster plan wherever you may be. Storm damage, fire, flood, mold. You know the issues, Ira. All right. Now, I'm not sure about the disaster.
Speaking of damages, Steve. Speaking of damages.
The Bucks are 4-4. Lee DeCamper is here, and I'm Steve Isbitz, and the Sage needs no introduction, even though you've got all those fancy names that you got. Ira.
Arthur Blank's got a few new names for me, too, Stevie.
Before we get firing away on this, we all have a lot to say. What do we need to know about Sunday from the Sage?
Well, you got it wrong from the start, Steve. You don't get 1 minute into this podcast with me without getting slapped down a little bit. Lee. It's not that the Bucks are 4-4. It's that they've lost 3 out of 4. That's the story. They've lost 3 out of 4. And it could very well be 5 out of 6 before you turn around at the bye week. Now, in the past, and I think it was 5 out of 6, but they had a mid-season 5 out of 6 loss tailspin, and they pulled out of it. It was last year.
Yeah.
They had lost 5 out of 6 mid-season. Here we go again. Hopefully, they can at least split the next two games, Lee. I think it's pie in the sky to think they're going to win both of the next two games because Evans isn't going to be back before the bye, if then, and we know about Godwin. And they got problems. So, all right, you're looking at 5-5 or 4-6. Now, Lee, even if they're 4-6, I'm not throwing in the towel on this season. I'm not doing it. The post-bye schedule is very favorable. It's very favorable for the Bucks. But, Lee, they got to play better football. Otherwise, you can't just say, well, they're going to beat this team and beat this team. other than maybe the Carolina Panthers. They're losing games in ugly fashion. You lose to the Ravens, that's one thing. You get swept by the Falcons, it's another. The Falcons just got pasted at home by Seattle, Lee. They're on the balls of their ass. And they come into Tampa and put up a 31-26 victory. Lee, we're going to talk about it all during this podcast. But Liam Cohn's side of the ball is getting the job done. And Todd Bowles' side of the ball is not.
Yeah, the defense, it's really dumbfounding how this is happening. Although I did not hear it Sunday. I didn't go to the press conference. I was in the locker room. And I didn't watch. I just read the quotes. I don't recall him using his favorite excuse, communication.
You know, I was looking for that, too. I don't think he did.
And I don't think he did it today, either, today being Monday. And
as, you know what he said today? Concentration. That was the word of the day.
Well, that makes a little more sense than communication. Last week, had Casey Rogers said communication one more time, I was going crazy. And I love Casey Rogers. I'm over that. If these guys can't, quote-unquote, communicate, then they need to hire a freaking speech pathologist. Or do like college does and have these signs, these cardboard cutouts like Kate Upton and what else, you know, to get these guys' attention. It's ridiculous. If it really is communication where a cornerback isn't talking to a safety
Lee,
vice versa.
Lee, isn't that a word you use when you got nothing else to say?
Well, it's a cover-up. It's rehearsed. That's why NFL teams have media relations. They want the message out there, so they got to rehearse. If it really is communications, like a cornerback telling a safety, hey, I got this guy, you got that guy, whatever, et cetera, et cetera. If that really is that, that's something they should have had down first week of training camp. That is so freaking basic. It's unbelievable. So, you know, there's a couple of questions. Number one, these guys really have their head up their asses that bad? Number one. Number two, did Bowles change the defense that much? Every one of these guys starting has experience, with the exception of Tyke Smith. Every one of these guys starting has experience with Bowles' defense.
And Whitehead was gone for a couple of years.
Yeah, but he's got experience with
it. He's got experience.
Yeah, he used to start, you know, won a Super Bowl with the guy. Did he change it that radically that these guys are out to lunch, that they don't know what they're doing? Now, you could argue the lack of an edge rush, they don't know what they're doing. But it's mind-numbing how veterans of this defense all of a sudden don't know how to play the defense. There are times, and Steve's brought this up more than I have, where's Jordan Whitehead's heart? Last two games, he's dropped two loads. Two loaves, I should say. He's dropped two loaves. Yesterday, he was back, like, someone on Twitter, like, what was he supposed to do? Oh, I don't know, strip the ball at the goal line? There's something wrong with this. Did they tune up Bowles? They changed the defense that much? These guys don't care? There's something major going on.
If Whitehead keeps playing like this, Steve, it's going to partly understand why the Jets let him hit free agency.
Yeah.
I hope he turns it around.
Sure. Well, the element Lee's not mentioning is maybe the guys just aren't that good.
Well, this is what I wanted to throw up to Izbitz for this podcast. And check me if I'm wrong, Lee. Yesterday and today, I'm starting to get the sense Bowles is thinking about making some personnel changes.
He better think
quicker. Even within the present roster. I'm not talking about going out and trying to get an edge rusher, and I don't think there are a lot of are available. I'll throw a name out, Steve. I'll throw a name out. I know it's small sample size. How about giving Brewer some, give him 50 snaps against the Chiefs? Let's see what happens.
It's not going to happen, Ira. It's not going to happen.
With the investment they have in
the other guys are not getting the job done, Steve. They're not getting the job done.
I understand, Ira. I just don't think he's not going to put Vita Vea on the bench. Who, I'll say this, Vea makes his share of plays, still doesn't play enough, and he doesn't look like the fit guy that showed up for training camp. So I don't know if there's something going on there, but they're just not making enough plays, and the run defense is consistently bad, and that was a hallmark of this defense. Having Winfield come back has not made enough of a difference, but it would have if they got the damn call right yesterday, and that could have changed
the game. Another great hustle play.
Another incredible hustle play. But look, they've got a lot of problems across the board with the defense, and I'm not seeing the same level of swarm and the same intensity, but I'm not going to say they're all loafing or anything like that. It's just not that good, and Bowles is not capable of making the right adjustments.
You know who walked out of the locker room last night when asked, does he have a minute? He walked out, said, no, I don't. Cansey, what's going on with him now? Sure.
Well, since you brought Cansey's name up, you're talking about more production from Cansey. Let us not forget, he's just not going through training camp. Think about that. He's just not going through training camp, so he's just getting his sea legs. That's number one. Number two about Cansey, first possession that Atlanta had, I saw the defensive tackle, Cansey, go back into pass coverage. What the hell?
What's going on with that?
That's ridiculous. You didn't draft the guy because he could cover tight ends. You drafted him to get to the freaking quarterback.
All right, Bucks fans, full disclosure. We think Ira got spicy mustard on the mute button, and we lost about 8 minutes of the podcast from here forward. Now, there's plenty more on here, but we talked a lot about the success of the offense, Liam Cohen as play caller rising up without Chris Godwin and Mike Evans and being creative and getting the guys motivated. We talked a lot about the offensive line and how Mayfield dropped back to pass 52 times and was not hit in the game, was not sacked. Incredible stuff. Of course, we talked about Mayfield's two more interceptions, both thrown into the red zone, and other stuff on the offense, but mostly all positive in a big way. I think we had a little bit more to say about some of the elements of the defense, but there's plenty more to go. We apologize. It happened. Here we go.
Every
element of the offense is humming. I mean, Kate Otten, let's be real. You look at some of those highlights from yesterday. He's flashing skills the last couple of games nobody knew he had.
He's making sharp cuts.
He looks really good. Not just like good, like really good.
Like physical.
Yeah, the blocking's great. They got a real run game, diverse, you know.
The downfield blocking's a lot better than it used to be too, Steve.
It's just really good on the offensive end. So my question to you is, Ira, if the Bucks can continue this on offense and the defense can't recover, what are the Glazers going to do? Because the fans are on bowls, and if you got a defensive head coach who can't fix the defense, what's the point?
Lee, at that point, the postseason discussion would be, are the players good enough on that side of the ball? Is the personnel good enough?
So they're going to lean on Light.
And before you answer, let me point out, Light's made a lot of good draft picks in the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say that right up front. No question about it.
We won't talk punters.
And even Bucky Irving looks like a hell of a draft
pick
at this point. However, Lee, some high picks, the Shoyinkas, the Logan Halls, and Kancey at this point, who, as you said, is just rounding into shape. They're not getting the job done, those three, Lee. They were all within the top 40 picks, all three of them.
I'm not going to rag on Kancey. Maybe my view of Kancey is different than yours.
And you don't have any faith in Choyinka and Hall turning around.
I don't, but to their defense, believe it or not, I'm just trying to be objective here. I think Kancey's a big-time player. I also, last year he really, especially later in the season, when he was no longer a rookie technically, he really turned it on. You know, this is his training camp right now. So I'm not worried about Kancey, so long as they have him rush the passer and not go into bat pass coverage. So I give him slack there. Logan Hall, for two or three games, he looked like a second-round pick. Okay, here we go. And the last couple games has been invisible. So I don't know what's going on there. But I've pretty much come to this conclusion. You know, I was going back and forth with a guy on Twitter, and he was ripping Light for his draft picks, especially at outside linebacker. And I said, I told this guy, I said, I'm at the point now where no matter who they drafted outside linebacker, he's not going to be developed. Name an outside linebacker that Bowles has developed.
Lee, I understand your point, but I think I would take it one step further. It would bolster your argument if one of these draft picks went somewhere else and emerged.
We don't know that yet because they're young guys.
And if you don't have that weakens your argument.
Sure, but we don't know that yet because they're still young guys. Let's put it this way. On the current that Hard Knocks knockoff the Bucks have in-house, which is excellent. The one where they did the video in the draft room where they're breaking down players. And Spychek, Jason Light's right-hand man, very clearly said, we think we got a pass rusher. We need another one. He was referring to Yaya Diaby. So think about this a second. If Spychek thought that Yaya was that guy, it's a pretty good bet, so does Jason Light, and so do others in that personnel department. So you're saying, you know, what are the Bucks going to do if Light or if Bowles, you know, goes to a wild card and defense stinks, he can't fix it? Well, I would think the Glazers are going to lead on their personnel department, or at least get feedback. Just based on what Spychek did in a very public forum, I'm going to guess the personnel is wondering what's Bowles doing with Yaya. Then you could extend it. What did Bowles do with Joe Tryon? What is Bowles doing with Chris Braswell? Who? Again, I ask you this. Name a corner or an outside linebacker that Casey Rogers and Todd Bowles had developed. Back with the Jets, back with the Cardinals. I can't think of one.
The other side of that argument, and I understand Lee's point, but Steve, the other side of it is maybe they're not good enough. Maybe the players aren't good enough.
That's a big, big sample size to say all of them are that bad.
tell me this, Ira. What's going on with Tryon Shoyinka? Okay, so he's started every game. He's been incredibly durable in his career. I don't even think he's ever been on an injury report. This is his fourth year. Hasn't missed a game. He's got, through eight games, he's got 14 combined tackles, okay, and two quarterback hits. That's way below.
And he plays a lot.
Yeah, that's way below his production rate of all his past seasons. So he's like, this is contract year. He's doing nothing. Why is he still out there? This is what I don't understand. What is he doing? Lee said to start the season, you know, maybe they give him four games, five games, and see if he's going to keep this up. He's worse. We're eight games in. Is this mean that Braswell just doesn't have it and they won't put him in there? What's going on?
I don't think Bowles feels they got anybody better, Lee.
Maybe Bowles needs to look in the mirror.
There's two sides to it, Lee.
There is, but that sample size is growing.
Your side can't be dismissed, but you acknowledge my point. They haven't gone anywhere else and flourished.
You're correct, but you're also overlooking the fact that they're still on the same team that drafted them. So, like, you know, but look at this big sample size. Arizona, the Jets, the Bucks. Where's the outside linebacker? Rodgers and Bowles is developed. By the way, real quick, you'll love this. Saw Casey Rogers when I left the locker room yesterday. He was loving 1979 motif. He had like a button-down disco shirt, funky slacks, the big heels of the 70s.
Oh.
He had smoked aviator glasses. He wasn't wearing a hat. I found out he's bald. I mean, completely bald. He looked 20 years younger. I told him, I said, you look 20 years younger. I thought he was going to go to an Earth, Wind, and Fire concert.
Was he singing Staying Alive or something with the Bee Gees?
He looked like he was going to an Earth, Wind, and Fire concert.
Steve Braswell is a perfect example. If Bowles thought, this guy's practicing really well, you know, let's see what he's got. He would use him more, Steve. He's obviously not showing much.
So did you give me a straight answer when I asked you about the Glazers and Bowles and what's going to happen if...
I think the Glazers would have to decide at that point where's the fault lie. Is it the defensive players that Light's picking to rush the passer, or Bowles isn't developing these guys?
But that's not the point. That's not the point. If Bowles started this season, they had their meetings. Bowles says, we got our guys to have a good defense. If this is the 25th-ranked defense, the Glazers are going to look at that and say, well, we should be at least 15th.
Yeah.
This is Todd Bowles. He knows how to manufacture stuff, make adjustments. We got pro bowlers. We're playing Antoine Winfield.
It's a bleak outlook for Bowles at this point. It's bleak.
Bleak.
It's a little bleak.
If he doesn't fix the defense to a degree.
And if the offense is scoring 29 points, that doesn't look good.
Who would have thought before the season the offense wouldn't be an issue, but the defense would be?
And Steve, well, a little line that I threw in there, but I think it's important. This defense isn't even close enough to be able to overcome some of these giveaways. And they lost, I believe it was 3-0 yesterday in turnover.
They
can't overcome.
They can't, team can. They should have.
Good defenses can mitigate.
But that's the thing. They should have. And really, it's a fourth turnover, which was that ridiculous fake punt.
Yeah.
At the 35-yard line. You're not even trailing by a lot. They lost 2 yards. That's how bad it was on the fake punt.
Are you putting that on the special teams coach, Lee? I mean...
What is that?
Someone had the wrong call, let's put it that way.
And how does that factor in with the Glazers when they look at that and say, what the hell were we doing?
It smacked the desperation a little bit.
But why were they desperate?
When there was no need to be desperate.
Yeah.
Didn't Bowles say if they got a certain look, they were calling it? And I guess whoever called it on the field misread it or...
And they didn't get the look.
No.
They didn't. You know what they got? They got the look of Buck Van saying, what the hell are you doing? That's a fourth turnover.
Fourth turnover.
Yeah.
Turnover on downs.
In your own territory.
And they're not getting any takeaways. Can you get some takeaways? No, Lee, I know you don't care about that.
No. Play good ball and good things happen.
You know what? But extra possessions help when the offense is good.
But you know what?
Yeah.
And you said before the game the Tyke Smith loss is going to be a big loss. And he's been their takeaway guy the last couple of weeks. You see what's going on with the Falcons.
Yeah.
Punching balls left and right. I don't know if you guys realize that Baker Mayfield fumbled on that quarterback sneak. I don't know if you realize that. Had the ball punched out, it just bounced and went right back to him when he got a first down. But this is the clear effort from the Falcons to punch balls out. And
you know what I thought was the most depressing snap of the day other than the fake punt?
Okay.
No, I'm serious about this.
Ira's most depressing snap of the day is brought to you by Bill Curry Ford.
Kirk Cousins runs freaking 13 yards when they had him on a first and 22 or something. And they weren't even in field goal range at that time. Make the stop, and they got a punt. And they couldn't do it, Lee. Somebody would say, well, wait a minute. He didn't get a first down on that run. No, but he made it fourth and one.
Yeah.
And then he ran, you know, and then he plunged. Fourth and one you're going to make. Second and 18, you shouldn't make. Mm-hmm. And he can't move, Lee. What's he doing going 13 yards? That's a terrible play,
Steve. I will give you $10 if you can tell me how many yards rushing Kirk Cousins has this year.
That's with the 13-yarder?
This season.
Included?
Yeah, you got it.
19.
8.
Whoa.
So he went backwards in other games.
Yes.
Backwards.
Yeah. That was his big run of the year.
13 yards for Kirk Cousins. He couldn't move before the Achilles.
Yesterday was the only
first. That's horrible. Yesterday
was his only first down of the season rushing the ball.
And the week before, Lee, and I pointed it out and I emphasized it, Baltimore had a bunch of first and 20s. Second and 22s.
Didn't matter.
And they made a lot of them.
Yeah. Well, like
the criticism in his defense cannot be overstated.
Well,
can't be overstated.
Last week.
This is a lousy defense right now. Lousy.
Last week on this very podcast, the most coveted Bucks podcast out there, thanks to you, Ira, I said, we're going to learn a lot about these coaches in the next month. We're going to learn a lot about these guys.
I don't like what I'm learning.
Well, Liam Cohen, the contrast is incredible. The guy passed every test the other day. It's not his fault that Rashad White fumbled. It's not his fault that Baker Mayfield made a couple of bad decisions.
No, I didn't like the 50 pass attempts.
What didn't you like about it? They moved the ball left and right.
Because
they own time of possession.
Because Mayfield's starting to throw picks. It's a three-week problem now.
Well, if he had any receiver.
And they're running the ball well. Even Raheem in the post game, with me sitting in the front row, he described it as a three-headed monster. He reads Joe Bucks, man.
Neither one of you guys will like who I'm going to quote, but I'm going to quote him anyway. Michael Lombardi, running the ball gets you field goals. Passing the ball gets you touchdowns.
But you also said that there's an intangible aspect of running the ball well.
There is, but
in terms of imposing your will.
Sure, but again, we're talking points here. Now, if you got the lead and you're imposing your will, that's a beautiful thing.
Well, the Ravens were averaging 200 yards till yesterday on the ground, and they were leading the league in scoring.
They have the final Hall of Fame running back.
And they lost to America's quarterback.
I mean, you're not taking Bucky Irving over Derrick Henry? Come
not
on,
yet.
Lee.
Mr. Cleveland, Jameis Winston.
Oh, how about that?
Pitched about
you
a perfect
the video?
Game.
He did his eat the W thing.
No, I didn't see that. I saw the post-game interview with him, and he said all the right things. He almost makes you root for him.
I'm glad that you said there's no excuse for the defense, because there isn't. I don't think any fans can't come up with any either.
It's not injuries.
Which is why I'm driving you to the Glazers, and we're not even halfway through the season, because you know they're thinking the same thing. There is no excuse. Cansey's back. Levante David's healthy.
Winfield's back.
We got Whitehead, which was supposed to be an upgrade from Ryan Neal.
You're not going to blame all this on little Jamel Dean, right, Lee? I mean, that don't fly.
I mean, Ryan Neal's not even in football anymore.
Yeah.
And this was supposed to be an upgrade. Vita Vea is there. I mean, what's going on?
This very subject, what do the Glazers make of Todd Bowles right now, is being discussed as we record this podcast. They're not going to wait till the end of the season. They're not going to wait till Thanksgiving. They're doing it now. They're evaling now.
Maybe Bowles would say, I was doing it with Mirrors for a couple of years with this defense. I didn't have the players. It's a tough argument. But if they finish strong,
We're
not having this argument.
And I think
we don't have this at all. Yeah, if they finish strong, we don't have this
discussion. If the defense finishes pretty decent with that schedule, they should win another six games, and that gives them 10 wins. Everybody's safe. Everybody's good. I know the Bill Belichick thing is starting to warm up, as it will for a lot of teams out there. The connections are easy, but one connection nobody's talking about, Ira, is Liam Cohen is from Rhode Island. He's a Patriots lover.
Not Chip Kelly.
Newport doesn't have a team, Steve.
No.
Newport, Rhode Island.
Liam Cohen himself is a Patriots lover from birth. He'll tell you that. Worship Tom Brady. Worship Bill Belichick. His father was a football coach. Worship the Patriots. Big Patriots fan. I think people are worried about losing Liam Cohen. I think there might be a chance. If you told Liam Cohen, look, we're going to bring in Belichick, but we need you to stay, and you get to work with this genius for a couple of years. He's not going to be here long. We'll pay you top dollar. I think Cohen almost might pass a head coaching job to work with his idol.
Didn't the Detroit, the offensive coordinator, was a hot candidate?
Yeah, he was off the Carolina job.
He said, I'm staying.
He stayed.
He said, I'm staying.
Well, the trick here is not only is Belichick looking for a job, so too is Josh McDaniels. Now, I'm not a big Josh McDaniels fan.
Nah,
but
he's done nothing.
He's done nothing, but other than one thing, he's been Belichick's right-hand man. Belichick knows him. You know, if Belichick comes in, it's going to be very similar to Bruce Arians. He's going to want to win. He's going to want to win now. And so he's going to want guys he's comfortable with. Same way Bruce Arians. He said the main reason he came back was he could get the band back together because he didn't want to coach up other coaches. Well, I think the same applies here if Belichick comes in.
I think, and we're going to jump off this because we want the Bucs to split these next two games. They can beat the 49ers, which is not a great team.
No.
Their pass rush is
off a bye week and rest.
Sure, why not? I can't say the Bucs at 4-4 stink and pretend the 49ers at 4-4 are really good.
McCaffrey's coming back. McCaffrey back.
Yeah,
that could
help.
If he comes back, healthy, he came back too soon last time.
Yeah.
So, anyway, the point is, but with Belichick, Sage, obviously there's a connection with Jason Light, and Baker Mayfield's here as the quarterback. He's not coming here. If he did come with the Glazers for a rebuild, they're going to say, if you want to come here, Bill, we're interested, but Baker's the quarterback. We got a great offense.
Good
and,
line.
And you got to keep these guys. And
aren't we being a little premature, Lee?
Sure, I mean, we're being
they're
premature.
They're not 2-6. They're not 2-6.
No, I don't think we're being premature.
But as Lee said, this is what the talks that ownership have now, so they're
right
not
now,
waiting
yeah.
later.
So you're saying Bowles has his fate in his own hands?
Yes, of course.
How are you going to finish the season?
No, I'm not saying he's going to get fired. I'm not suggesting that. But I am suggesting, hell, I'm coming out and saying it. I think he's on the hot seat. Steve wrote that story. He's on the hot seat. I fully agree with that. You're a defensive guy. Your defense is horrible. If that doesn't get a guy on a hot seat, nothing will.
If they were 4-4 and the offense was struggling, the defense was playing well, this wouldn't even be a conversation. Well, new offensive coordinator, what do you expect? These things happen. You know, it'll take time like last year. So,
an interesting point. The guy Bowles hired is making him look bad.
The one thing that I don't necessarily want to grasp is you don't want to lose Liam Cohn, so you fire Bowles and make Liam Cohn the head coach. I'm not sure the Glazers are looking at it like that.
No.
They've gotten in trouble with that in the past, and it hasn't worked out. We got to keep this guy. We got to keep Raheem. We got to keep Cutter. It doesn't always work out. Liam Cohn has no experience as a head coach. It's not like he's been successful somewhere as a head coach. There's a difference between coordinator and head coach.
Well, obviously, if you can get Belichick, that's a no-brainer. You take him over Cohn.
All right, Sage, look.
I can't believe how bad this defense is playing, Steve. I just can't believe it.
It's absolutely stunning, Ira. It just shouldn't be. There's no cavalry coming back.
Derrick Brooks isn't coming through that door.
As you said, Jamel Dean is not going to revolutionize this defense as he tries to extend his streak of 30-something games of no interceptions.
Now, look, Cousins is a good quarterback. He's, you know, the 13th best quarterback in the league.
Yeah, he's not Deshaun Watson.
He's had his way. It's way too easy.
Sage, Bucks run defense 30th in the NFL in yards per carry allowed. 30th. They passing defense.
That was always a foundational piece of Bowles' defense.
Yep.
Bucks pass defense 23rd in yards per pass attempt. And they're 28th in scoring defense. They stink.
And you haven't mentioned that great stat that the league got last week, which is very illuminating. And I don't think it improved with the Atlanta game is...
5.3 yards.
How many yards of separation opposing targets again against the Buck defense?
Average.
That's disgraceful.
It's
Steve.
Bad, and there was more evidence of that in this game. Not as much, but the Bucks have a long way to go to fixing that. Crazy times, Ira. Anything else you want to tell Bucks fans about this game, Ira Lee?
Well, you asked me last week, what do I want to see? I said swarm to the ball, hustle. I don't think I saw it.
Levante David picked up his game.
He did. Tackling. Was better, but still not great.
Yeah.
But, Steve, the thing I keep coming back to, it's not Bijan Robinson. You know, he didn't wreck the game. The thing I keep coming back to, Lee, and it drove us crazy in the late 2010s. We used to say it every week. How's this guy so open? And we're back to where we started.
Lee. Yeah. Well, the Bijan Robinson touchdown, I went bananas. That's probably their best player. And you leave him that wide open?
What a breakdown that was, Steve. Oh,
It was very similar to Mark Andrews' touchdown, the first one, when they played Baltimore on Monday night. Like, that guy, you leave that wide open? How?
It's communication.
He floated out to the left. Nobody's near him.
Nobody yelled, cover that guy. It's communication.
Here's my positive development. Ira, you're a wordsmith, so you may like this. As I was leaving Monday night, you know, a week ago after the Baltimore game, and Otten was one of the very few players who was not crestfallen in that locker room, not crushed. He wasn't happy, but he wasn't, like, borderline sobbing. At any rate, I was walking out of the locker room, and, you know, they had those snacks lined up for the players.
Yeah.
And he was getting his...
Don't tell me you grabbed a box
of pizza. No. I get my credentials pulled.
I got a great story about those snacks, the food.
But, you know, Otten was overlooking, you know, trying to decide what to pick. he had the hell beat out of him that night. And he kept bouncing up like the Energizer.
And you know how physical the Ravens are. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he got the, to quote Mike Ditka, got the snot knocked out of him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, anyway, I was telling Otten, I said, man, that was pretty impressive. You got pounded like you did, and you kept bouncing up. And he's like, oh, you know, well, thanks. I appreciate it. I said, I can't think of it now, but there's a word. There's a word for that. I can't think of it. I said, I'll think of a word. I'll let you know.
Oh, this is going to be a beauty, Stevie.
Well, maybe not. So, didn't see him all week. Otten, I didn't see him all week. And obviously, I saw him. I talked to him in the locker room yesterday, Sunday. And I said, hey, Cade, I got that word. He's like, what's the word? I said, Monday night, you were resilient.
It's a strong one. Too bad you can't spell it, DeKemper, but it's a hell of a word.
All right,
that is the word, resilient. And that's what this team needs to be, Stevie.
Resilience.
This defense. We got to say, I mean,
I love the way you're chopping it up
the offense. It's reality. They lose Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and move the ball all around the field. Raheem Jarrett making big catches and
converting third downs.
I mean, it's crazy. Baker Mayfield, Ira, we'll close with this thought and your perspective as we head toward the Chiefs. Mayfield leads the NFL in touchdown passes with 21. He's on pace for 43 touchdowns this year. That's more than Brady in his big year with the Bucs. He also is tied for the NFL lead in picks with 9. We hope this doesn't continue.
So he's on pace for 19 or 20.
Yeah, he's on pace for 18, 19, whatever, 40-something touchdowns. He's also second in yards in the NFL. So I got to ask you, I mean, what do you make of that, those numbers? And in perspective, Patrick Mahomes is a stunning, only has 8 touchdown passes compared to Mayfield's 21. And he's also thrown 9 picks in one less game.
And he's 7-0.
And he's undefeated.
I don't really have a lot of problems with Mayfield, Lee. I know that he's thrown 7 picks in the last 3 games. Before that, he was really good with ball security. He was really good with ball security all of 2023, which is why Bowles loves him. Could he be trying to do too much, Lee, knowing that the defense isn't going to hold the fort? I think so.
Yes.
I think so. He is a competitor to his core, Lee. I like him. Bill Belichick likes him.
I know. You say he loved him.
And Bowles loves him. On the list of problems for the 2024 Bucks, he's like number 25.
Yeah, I agree. How about, since we're doing words here, I've never heard this word used for Mayfield. I think it's apropos, but you tell me.
Resilient.
Feisty.
I used it. I think I used it in the column. I said he's feisty and competitive as all heck.
Florida's Elite Restoration. Thank you. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Get there now. Prepare for when you have a disaster. There's nothing worse than not knowing what to do. You can know what to do. Florida'sElitereStoration.com.
And Steve, the big point is we know people that have used the company. We're not talking in a vacuum here. And to a man, Lee, they all swear by the job that Josh and his crew does.
And all 3 of us have bought vehicles from Bill Curry Ford. I still got my vehicle I bought in 2019. And a famous question I asked Sean Sullivan, it was a used car. I said, sure, this isn't a lemon? He's like, a lemon? What? What kind of question is that? We don't sell lemons. This thing's been inspected 125 points and this and that.
Are you saying the Buck defense is a lemon, Steve? Is that what
Buck
you're
defense
saying?
Is a lemon, Ira? But maybe they can add some sugar and sweeten
it
up a little
bit. Can they turn this defense around? Can they?
Once again, in the next month, we're going to find out a lot about this coaching staff.
I'm afraid what we're going to find out.